Well, thank you, President Maurer. It's always good to be here. It certainly has been a little more than a quarter of a century. I think it's like 38 years or something of the sort. I've really forgotten. But it seems like every 4th of July, I return to the NFB family, and I'm delighted to do that. This year, I'm especially pleased to see that, to note that President Maurer has invited Mary Beth Peters, the head of the Copyright Office, to speak, and she'll be doing so right after the lunch period. And I would urge all of you to, not that I have to do that because you all attend all the meetings, but to listen to Mary Beth, and she'll have some positive things to say. Now, about 5 years ago, we determined that you had heard probably enough about from me and about me, and I should involve more of our staff. And so at that point, we began to bring specific individuals from the working staff to talk to you. We had Mike Moody, who was the assistant director at that time and was involved in developing the talking book. You've had Michael Katzman here. You've had Mary Beth Peters here. And today you'll have David Fernandez Barrial, who is our foreign language library. But let me just make a few comments and then turn the meeting over to David. First, I'd like to let you know that, again, as usual, we have an exhibit. And Lloyd Rasmussen, one of our most outstanding engineers, and Debbie Brown, who makes sure that all the Braille books are accurate, are at the booth and have been at the booth. Now, let me say just a very few things about the digital machine, both the advanced and the basic machine. We, for many, many years, were saying, wait till next year, wait till next year, wait till next year. And with a lot of appreciation to President Maurer and to all of you for your patience, you did wait. And if the machine is here, we have 200,000 of them produced already, and they're being produced at a rate of 20,000 a month, so that anyone who has not received a machine should contact their regional library, and there'd be absolutely no reason why you should not have one. If you don't get one immediately, please contact me in our offices in Washington. Let me note just again three very important efforts that we're undertaking, and then I will turn the meeting over to David. Number one, Web Braille, which many of you use, will be merged with our BARD download, so that and we're in the process of doing that now, so you will have the ability to have a one-stop shop. You'll go to BARD and you'll be able to get the Braille as well as the audiobooks. I think that's an improvement. In terms of the audiobooks, you should know that we have approximately 20,000 books on the web, so those of you who download have that, and it's growing at the rate of approximately 2,000 a year beyond that. The other announcement is that we will be converting approximately 90% of our analog materials to digital, and you'll be able to get those. So you'll have your favorite titles from your favorite narrators and your favorite authors, and things should go very, very well that way. And the last point is that we're undertaking a pilot, which I believe will result in a formal program, to have the magazines, the audio magazines, on Flash. And that will certainly simplify your ability to get that. The way we're going to do that is to have two Flash issues a month because of the production. You know, there are weeklies and there are monthlies and so forth. And each Flash will contain half of the total magazine content. And your machine will be able to identify which magazines you want. So if you got 20 magazines on the Flash, which one will have 21, the other will have 21, you don't have to read through all the 21 or search through the 21. It will bring you the one, two, or three magazines you want, or you can have all of them. And that, I think, is a revolutionary situation. So I introduce now David Fernandez Barrial, who will be speaking to you, and then at 12:15, we will be in the obelisk room in the atrium mezzanine. I hope I find the room, and I invite all of you to find the room, and we will be there with Lloyd, with Debbie, with David, myself, and most likely a representative from Talking Book Publishers, the president of Talking Book Publishers, Rudy Savage, and we'll be delighted to talk as long as you wish about any of the projects that you wish. David came to us approximately a year ago. He came from the Copyright Office in the Library of Congress. He's already made a great impression, has many projects to talk about, and I just trust that you'll welcome him with enthusiasm, because he's going to broaden the number of foreign language books that we have at NLS. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Hola.
Quiero darle las gracias al Dr. Maurer. Oh, excuse me. Broke into Spanish. I'd like to thank Dr. Maurer and my director, Mr. Frank Hertzilke, for giving me this opportunity to speak to you in beautiful Dallas. My name is David Fernandez Barrial. I am the new foreign language librarian at NLS. I'd also like to thank you, Federationists, for the warmth you've shown me, a newbie to NFB and the National Convention. It isn't often that someone coming from Washington is welcomed so openly. Usually when the Federales come, they run the other way. So it's nice to be part of your family. Dr. Maurer, I have to mention this. I attended a meeting a few nights back of the Committee to Empower Underserved Populations, chaired by Ron Brown. Yeah. He had a number of great speakers, including Dr. Edward Bell of Louisiana Tech University, and Anil Lewis. The whole substance of their conversation was so central to what I'm trying to do at NLS, diversity and true inclusivity, that I wanted to mention them because it was really inspirational. And their whole tell it like it is attitude is something that I will try to emulate in my talk today. We need more straight talk in the world we live in today. Don't you think, folks? Yeah. Especially when we talk about what is considered quote-unquote foreign and what is part of our common heritage as Americans, a nation of immigrants from all corners of the globe. Now, you may know that across this beautiful planet of ours, there are anywhere from 6,500 to 8,000 languages, and that doesn't include dialects and derivations of those tongues. One can only imagine the number of languages since the beginning of time. The title of my brief talk is 84 Languages and Growing, but the fact is the foreign language collections of NLS actually contain only 65 languages. It appears that in our genuine excitement to recognize a diversity of human language around the globe and expand the materials available to our patrons, we added an additional 20 languages to the title of this talk, so sorry. My job at NLS is basically to select materials for the patrons in languages other than English. The production, purchase, and acquisition of audio and braille titles from here, the US, and from abroad. I'm also one of the junior members of the NLS staff, the new guy, and everybody always wants to hear what the new guy is up to. So here we go. This is what we've accomplished in the last 10 months I've been on the job. First, we've reestablished the regular flow of new Spanish language titles into the collections. Ever since the retirement of my predecessor, Jim Herndon, back in 2006, NLS hasn't had a foreign language librarian, so with me coming on, I've made sure that the titles have resumed and we're getting a lot of good titles coming in. Though there are a lot of other popular languages out there, by far the biggest demand, as you can expect, is in Spanish. If you read our publication, Talking Book Topics, you're gonna find a number of great titles in the coming months. Titles like La Isla Bajo el Mar, by Isabel Allende, La Mano de Fátima, by Ildefonso Falcones, Gabriel García Márquez, of course, Una Vida, by Gerald Martin, El Símbolo Perdido, The Lost Symbol, by Dan Brown, 2676 by Roberto Bolaño, Cain by the recently deceased Jose Saramago, and many others. It really has been a year of great books. You will also find popular light fiction, short story, and poetry collections, history, biographies, political essays, religious, self-help titles, cookbooks, and even a great introductory book about computers and technology. And all this is in Spanish. I do want to mention that I did select one Spanish language publication from the NFB, the Kernel book El Viaje, The Journey, edited by Dr. Kenneth Jernigan. I felt that this collection of essays, originally published in English in 1994, would be a great boon to our patrons. I know that it's available as a large print version from you all, and I feel strongly that a recorded version would be a worthy addition to the collection of NLS. There is also an essay, Quedando Dentro de las Líneas, Keeping Within the Lines, by the gentleman on my immediate left. That's you, Dr. Maurer. Now, at yesterday's general session, Father Sheehan from the Xavier Society, who has a beautiful voice, by the way, really sang nicely. And if he's around, maybe we can do a duet later. We can sing. He mentioned that in the library collections, his library collections, you really wouldn't find Harry Potter because that's sort of outside the scope of what the Xavier Society collects. Brewster Kahle of the Internet Archive also mentioned that you could find various synthesized speech versions of Harry Potter on their site. Well, just remember, folks, that the National Library Service is your library. Not only will you find Braille and other audio editions of the Harry Potter series in natural speech, you will also find the entire series in Braille and in audio Spanish. I was actually looking at the site yesterday, and we also have a Braille version in French. So even if these other versions aren't out there and aren't available, remember, we're your public library. It's there. I also want you to know that the foreign language collections of NLS contain close to 9,500 works in 65 different languages. So you have Spanish, you have French, German, Ukrainian, Polish, Latvian, Serbo-Croatian, Chinese, Japanese, Lithuanian. And when I get to Esperanto, be sure to, you know, cheer for Esperanto. I mean, we even have old Middle English texts and Gujarati. But it's not just having the materials, but, you know, as a librarian, it's also having a feel for what people actually want. So earlier this year, we put together a survey about the foreign language preferences of our patrons. And with the exception of only 7 states, which we won't mention, we received a response from every state and territory, including Guam, the Virgin Islands, and of course, Puerto Rico. Qué rico, Puerto Rico. One thing the Foreign Language Survey has disclosed to us is that 14,000 NLS patrons have expressed a preference for materials in other languages. This amounts to almost 3% of all our patrons. The current models assumed about 1%. And that's not even with every library reporting. So it kind of shows you the importance of numbers and the importance of voting. You know, the more libraries that respond, and there still were a number of them that didn't respond, the more of a feel we have for the real demand for foreign language materials across the board. Now, the most popular languages that have emerged across the country are Spanish, French, German, which is to be expected, but also the Chinese family of languages, Mandarin and Chinese. Other languages on the radar include Vietnamese, Cambodian, Laotian, and even the indigenous languages, the languages of the First Nations here in the United States, which is kind of a weird thing. Like my first weeks in the job, I got a number of calls regarding Navajo materials. And, you know, I'm the foreign language librarian, and here you have someone of First Nations, the first tribes here in the United States. That's not foreign. That's, you know, they're here first. So in any case, as the foreign language librarian, I have to make sure that that stuff is available as well. Now, keep in mind that this is the most comprehensive data that the NLS Collection Development Section has ever collected about the readership needs of patrons, and it'll influence our management plans in 2001 and 2012. It allows us to build the collections in a manner that reflects actual needs. Another task in my first weeks was finding replacements for the Spanish language magazines Selecciones, Reader's Digest, and Buen Hogar, which went out of business. As you all may know, a lot of publications are actually going under. I think I even heard Newsweek is kind of threatened. So I had to replace those two, the only two Spanish languages ones that we had, both went out of business, and I replaced them with the two most popular publications in Spanish in the US, Vanidades and People in Español. There was also an overhaul of the translations of our NLS fact sheets. There's two fact sheets in Spanish, and also our application form. Now, as a librarian, I've also taken on some outside-the-box collection development approaches to get materials for our collections at little or no cost through sister agencies around the globe. One example is Los Ciegos en la Historia by Jesús Montoro Martínez. The Organización Nacional de los Ciegos Españoles, known by the acronym ONCE, published in the 1990s a very detailed 5-volume history of the blind, the translation of which is literally the blind in history. I discovered the first volume of this impressive, truly international work and contacted ONCE directly. They graciously sent us digital files of their complete recordings of the set with the permission to make the recorded books available to our patrons. These are in the Spanish language originals and will be available on Bard shortly. Now, Kurt actually saw I was showing him some of the volumes, and he was so impressed that he actually wanted us to make inquiries to see if we could secure the rights to prepare an English translation of the work. It is truly a monumental study of the blind in history. And it's an international study. It isn't just limited to, you know, Western Europe. It's all over the world. And it's got so many fascinating facts and details and golden ages that have existed in the past for the blind that, honestly, I think a lot of people don't even know about. Now, the author of the work actually passed away shortly after writing the work, and it's 5 volumes, like I said. And we're trying to find the heirs. And we've made attempts through the Library of Congress and the cultural attaché for Spain in Washington to try to get, you know, find the heirs and get the rights. And we're working on it, and hopefully we'll be able to report shortly that we have an English version being prepared so you can really read this fascinating, fascinating history. It'll be a worthy addition to English language blind cultural scholarship. Another example of, like, outside-the-box collection development, some months ago by accident I received a shipment from the Library of Congress's Cairo office of some Arabic Braille materials from some sister agencies in the Middle East. And, you know, as I thought about it, I mean, the Library of Congress has different field offices all around the world where they collect all sorts of different materials. And I'm in contact with the different field officers there, letting them know that we are interested in trading excess English language Braille for foreign language materials that are out there. And the hope is to create a lending, a periodical sort of serial lending library through our multi-state center East for the benefit of our patrons. So in the coming months, you're going to see different international publications like Carrefour Braille, in French, Ode to Joy, which is a Chinese publication for visually impaired children in, you know, original Mandarin, and Al-Fajr, an Arabic periodical available in individual loaner copies. Yeah. We're also preparing digital editions of some of our more important NLS publications, such as the seminal 1983 That All May Read and Braille into the Next Millennium from 2001, to actually put them on thumb drives as digital files to be able to trade them and sort of exchange them with other sister agencies and hopefully get the same from them. So we sort of can, you know, have relationships with all these different sister agencies around the world. We've also begun preliminary work on assembling the components of Libros en Español Part 2, which will be a comprehensive list of all RC Spanish language titles available from 2001 to 2011, which will close the book on our cassette program and open the door to digital titles. Now be careful, I'm a librarian, so I might also shush you if you're making noise. I'll say, shh, quiet. People trying to read over here, okay? Shh. In the coming months, we'll be finding new sources of materials abroad, new partnerships, and purchase digital files, which we'll be able to distribute copy-protected formats and make available directly to network libraries or to you, the patrons, directly through our Bard download service. We're also starting an analog-to-digital preservation project, which will hopefully make available some of the several thousand foreign language titles that have been purchased over the years and which are in cassette copies housed in our multi-state center East in Cincinnati. There's a need for other Spanish language and foreign language materials like this on Bard. Now, regarding some things I'm trying to work to in the coming months, basically my wish list, I'd love to have a basic web portal, a link, really, on the NLS website for Spanish speakers as a great resource. I'd like to revise and expand the NLS foreign language pages, including the creation of finding aids to make network librarians' jobs a lot easier. Another thing would be to have basic info about the NLS program available in multiple languages so patrons from diverse backgrounds can really understand how the program works and avail themselves of this national resource. So, in closing, I just want to bring it back to basics and emphasize that the goal of this foreign language librarian is to construct a premier foreign language program for the benefit of NLS patrons. And that's for you, too, the NFB family. Given the incredible potential of technology that has yet to be harnessed, together with the real strides in making available digital players and digital talking books via cartridge and download, we're at the cusp of a new era. It's exciting, very exciting time to be a librarian, where the hopes embodied in the ancient dream of the Library of Alexandria, that fabled library in Alexandria, Egypt, that really was the first world collection of literature that was accessible to all, okay? It's closer than ever, really, to fruition. And it's an exciting time to be a librarian, and I know, like, the next 20 years are gonna be just outstanding. Well, my email address, by the way, is dafe@loc.gov. And look, I'm even giving you my phone number, 202-707-0611. If you have any questions or comments or trying to find materials, I'm open to suggestions and I'm there. So I want to say thank you very much. Muchísimas gracias. Have a good one.